I had uneasy about feeling nothing. Ugh, what is this nothing feeling? I didn't like it, man. It really disturbed me.
I've realized I'm not anxious. Wow. What's going on?
Yeah.
This is strange.
Yeah.
Ah, and then you trigger anxiety again.
The state of feeling like my body being quiet and my mind being quiet for a few minutes was so foreign to me that it would disturb me. I would have paid money to feel nothing for a long time. But then when I did, I interpreted it as something was wrong.
A change in state where actually the only thing that we can lean on is that, well, I'm used to experiencing 6 to 8 out of 10 anxiety at this point. And when it's not there, your reality changes a bit. Why is this happening? Is my brain changing? Am I losing my mind? No, it means you're doing well and you're well on your way.
Welcome to Disordered. This is episode 43. Today we're talking about being anxious, about not being anxious, which sounds funny, but it's a thing. I'm Drew Linsalata, one of the co-hosts of Disordered. I'm a therapist in training in New York in the US, planning to specialize in anxiety and anxiety disorders. I'm also a podcaster and an author on the topic of anxiety and recovery, and a former sufferer of anxiety and depression for many years, but better now.
And I'm Joshua Fletcher, also known as Anxiety Josh on social media. I'm a psychotherapist and author based in the UK and a previous sufferer.
Welcome, dude. Welcome back.
Good topic today, anxious about not being anxious. It does sound a bit silly, but it's actually really common. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to talking about it with you today.
It's a thing. Should we start with a little something from the community first? A little inspiration?
Yeah.
We'll do a dead end anyway. Let's hear it. Here we go.
Hi, Josh and Drew. My name is Willow. I don't mind if you share this. I just wanted to let you guys know about a huge win that I just had. I'm from Toronto, Ontario, and my partner of 4 years is from Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is about a 2.5 hour flight away. And up until about a year ago, I was so agoraphobic that even going to the convenience store at the top of my street was like a really difficult thing for me to do. I couldn't do it without white knuckling. So this trip has been 4 years sort of in the making, 4 years of resisting and saying, I can't do that. I'm just not there. And I finally, 2 days ago, got on a flight by myself, my first time flying alone. And went to Winnipeg for the weekend, and it was bigger than any other exposure I've done, not just because of the scope of it, but because it was the first time that I was able to self-regulate without having to return to like a designated safe space of mine or use safety behaviors. I went and I was able to just go, you know, sit in the car, do like check in with myself, accept the anxiety, allow it to be there, and trust myself. And much to the surprise of Craig the critic, that actually really worked and allowed me to return to the situation and really enjoy my trip. So it was huge for me. I'm so proud of myself. I wanted to share that. And it's in no small part thanks to you guys and the community and, you know, a lot of the info that you've shared. So thank you.
Well done.
Outstanding. Someone's been putting the work in there. I think that's fantastic, and you should be proud of yourself. And for those who haven't tuned in the past, we share these did it anyways, and the sender in, I mentioned Craig the critic, which is that internal voice that wants to criticize us, but you know, you won that round, and long may that last. Well done.
I like any time I get to say the word Manitoba, so good job. Thanks, Willow. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Winnipeg, Manitoba. So, anxious about not being anxious.
Yeah, it comes up. Did you ever have that?
I think I did. I had uneasy about feeling nothing. Ugh, what is this nothing feeling? I didn't like it, man. It really disturbed me. Did you have the same experience or no?
Yeah, definitely. You know you're anxious about not being anxious when you suddenly caught yourself and you're like, I've realized I'm not anxious. Wow, what's going on?
Yeah.
This is strange. Yeah. Ah, and then you trigger anxiety again.
I think I had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with it. It was great when I started to have those moments where it's like, oh, look, I just sat and petted the dog for 5 minutes without thinking about how I feel. That was awesome. But then other times it felt like there was a hole. It felt empty. Like the state of feeling, like my body being quiet and my mind being quiet for a few minutes was so foreign to me that it would disturb me. This isn't right. I feel nothing. I feel empty. Oh, what is that? So it was dependent on the day, whether I liked it or not.
Yeah. For some people, anxiety can be in some way a comfort in the sense of its predictability. Mm-hmm. And it's the only constant that can be quite chaotic, you know, in a chaotic life sometimes. Like, well, my anxiety, I know it's going to be there at certain times. Maybe you wake up with it. And when people start to do really well with their recovery, and you're getting bigger windows like this, like, yeah. Oh, noticed I'm not as anxious as I was. It's very normal and very common to suddenly be like, oh, wow. Oh, that's a strange feeling. Because it's alien. Some people are anxious so much that actually feeling not anxious is alien and quite jarring for some people. It's like, oh, you know, what I usually say to this is that you're doing stuff right. This is just the next thing. Yeah. That you need to like get used to, but it is quite odd. It's like, oh, and for people with dementophobia or the fear of going crazy or people with OCD that feel like they're going to lose control, it's jarring for them too. Cause they're like, am I losing my mind? Cause usually at 3 PM on a Tuesday, I feel anxious and I compulse and I ruminate. Mm. Why is this happening? Is my brain changing? Am I losing my mind? No, it means you're doing well and you're well on your way.
That's a good point. I didn't even realize that that's what I think was triggering me about that feeling. It felt like if I wasn't feeling something, then I'm feeling nothing, which like I would have paid money to feel nothing for a long time. But then when I did, I interpreted it as something was wrong. Like, was my brain shutting down? I had that slipping away thing that was a recurring thing for me. Am I disintegrating? I can't put it to words, but that's what it would trigger in me. It was a change in state, and change in states were es no bueno. I did not like them. And
no, it's not. Yeah. You're a change in state where actually the only thing that we can lean on is that, well, I'm used to experiencing 6 to 8 out of 10 anxiety at this point. And when it's not there, your reality changes a bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to talk about the lens of anxiety, which sometimes we get so used to experiencing life and seeing life through this lens of threat. Mm-hmm. That you could look at the same thing again, minus the lens of threat and through a lens of homeostasis, where you just feel kind of relaxed. And we spoke a bit about the nervous system in the last episode about, you know, when your parasympathetic nervous system is engaged and you're like, oh, I'm pretty chilled out, things will look different. And you're like, oh, and feel different. And if you've been anxious for a long time, that can be jarring. Not for everyone. Some people are like, yeah, I'm not anxious, party, woohoo. And some people are like, I'm not anxious, and that feels weird.
Yeah, I was swinging back and forth between the two. It's funny because I sometimes conceptualize that as my full-time job was being an anxious person, and there were times when it was so jarring because it felt like I showed up for work, and they told me to clear out my desk, and there was a armed security guard waiting, I don't have a job anymore, what do I do now? I was like cut loose by my anxiety. Like, wait, I'm not a full-time anxious person, what do I do now? So there was a lot of things that it brought up. I didn't know what to do with that. It's really weird.
It's why it's important when we always say, what would non-anxious you do? When you do get these windows of not being anxious and your default is to monitor, worry, ruminate, try to fix yourself, then you are going to feel a bit lost.
Yeah. It was at the point where I've shared this before, but I was so disturbed by that sort of lost feeling and that empty feeling that I literally called my old therapist, like, hey, can we have a quick session? And she was great. She talked to me and she was like, how about you go and like, I don't know, go sit at Starbucks or go to the library or go to the park. And I'm like, what? This is insanity. No, that's madness. Like, I was just so disturbed by not feeling anxious. It was why?
Yeah. It was fun. Like, yeah, I was like you at sometimes I'm like, I'm not anxious. It's euphoria. This is joy. But when I was in the middle of thinking that I was going crazy or something, or my brain was broken, I would think that not being anxious was the silence before the storm.
Yes.
Like, something's happening now and I feel suspicious around this feeling.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people will say, I think share my experience where it's an inward focus. Something's happening inside me. Whereas other people I've heard will say, it feels so wrong to not be looking for a problem. Like, this means I'm not on guard. I'm not ready for whatever's about to happen. And it feels just wrong. And after being in a heightened state of alert all the time, like always scanning, meerkat mode, I've heard you use that. I love that. Now you're not in meerkat mode. It's like, wait, I'm supposed to be. This isn't right. Something bad can happen if I'm not on guard.
Explain a bit more about meerkat mode for those who haven't heard.
Well, I mean, I totally stole it from you. It's your thing. But if anybody's ever seen video of a meerkat, you know, that's that little groundhog looking animal. Right? And they're just always, you know, up on their hind legs with the paws in front, just always, their head is always on a swivel. I guess you're the smallest animal. You better do that because you're about to get eaten. And they're always look like they're just always on guard. It must be exhausting to be a meerkat. They never calm down. Come on, man.
Yeah. You're in meerkat mode. There's no predators. What? I've been scanning for predators for years.
Yeah.
My predators are twinges in my body, sensations of panic, scary intrusive thoughts, maybe a sense of something going on. And I've been scanning like a meerkat for predators for years. Are you telling me now there's no predator? What do I do?
Yeah.
I'm not anxious. My executive function has been in such a habit for so long that you present me a scenario that my default habit doesn't apply to. I'm going to feel strange.
Yeah, this isn't right. I hear people say all the time, it feels wrong. So some people will say, I wish I could stop looking for the anxiety. It's not there. I love it. But then I go looking for it. I wish I didn't do that. But then other people will say, when I feel like it's not there, I choose to go looking for it. And I don't know why I do that. Then after,
habit.
Yes. Then after they choose, then they like, why did I do that? I don't like that I did that. So some people don't want to choose. They feel it's automatic. Other people know what they're doing. I'm not scanning. I better start scanning again. And so they go back into it.
Because your neural pathways in your brain have been formed by doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're not failing if you're suddenly anxious about not being anxious. Don't feel hopeless.
Yeah.
That's actually, you're in a good place. That's a good stepping stone. You have seen the world that you want to access. That is a window to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to learn how to, you know, take your shoes off and relax in that place. Mm-hmm. Again, get used to it.
That's a good point. Because you know, I think people will ask us, you know, well, any tips for that? Like it's a different type of thing. Yeah, I'm doing much better. But now any tips for when you're not anxious? Yes, it's an uncomfortable thing that you have to learn to get comfortable with, like all the other stuff you've been through. It's just a different form of tolerance.
And it's a cop-out, but it's like learning to live your life.
Yeah.
I've been anxious for so long, I forgot how to live. I don't know what to do when you've given me free rein. You know, Soren Kierkegaard, the very famous historical philosopher, existential philosopher, he had a quote, didn't he? It was, anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. And for some people here, that's right, we're cramming in some philosophy into a podcast about
this. I'm here for that. Let me pull up a chair. Oh, I already did.
Yeah, we're not banging on about stoicism this time.
He said
anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. And for people that suddenly have the window of, oh, I'm not anxious, what the hell do I do? Well, then, yeah, it's almost like that dizziness of a freedom of choice. You could do what you want. That's your next step of recovery. I need to learn what I'm doing now. Like, what would non-anxious me do?
Many years ago, my youngest daughter was small. She was probably only in second or third grade. And it was just her and I in the morning. She comes out to get ready for school. And she walked into the kitchen. She says, can I have ice cream for breakfast? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Fine, have ice cream for breakfast. Like, yeah, I'm like a cool dad. I'll let her have ice cream. And she literally stopped and looked at me like, this is a trap, right? What do you mean I can do whatever I want? This is a trap, right? If I do whatever I want, something bad's gonna happen. And it was
no rigid rules. You can't operate within the rigid rules.
Yeah.
But apply that to an anxiety disorder, because an anxiety disorder gives you rigid rules.
Yep. Now I have no rules.
And this is what I talk about that it can be a comfort. Now some people may be listening going, you don't know, it be a comfort. Anxiety feels horrible. What the hell are you talking about? But actually, it's a comfort in its predictability and the rules that it sets you. I can't go to that place because I'm going to panic. Oh, I can't do that just because I can't leave that alone because the stakes are too high.
Yeah.
Or I can't ignore that because I need to research and better myself. Well, remove those rules. What do you do?
Which is intimidating. You're right. The Kierkegaard reference is correct. He's not a stoic, but I'll allow it. And I think because the free that's a gaping maw with no rules. It's free form. Because anxiety told me what to do every minute of the day. I didn't have to think for myself. I just followed along the fear. It told me what to do, so I did that. Now I have all these choices, and that's intimidating sometimes.
Like, yeah, it's almost like if you ever get that frozen in the headlights when someone says, tell me your favorite joke. I know loads of jokes. Right. I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, oh, you know, what's the happiest moment of your life? I'm like, my brain just doesn't know where to go.
Yeah, too many.
I'm frozen. You give me the freedom to kind of, I don't know. I get that anyway. I don't know if other people.
Oh, I think a lot of people do. I've been out socially with people who, I can't come to this restaurant anymore. Why? Is there something wrong? The menu is too big. They literally will find, I mean, listen, it's not a horrible problem to have. But
it's not like, a good restaurant if the menu's too big.
The menu's too big. I don't mean physically big. There's too many choices. They have like, oh, I don't know what to pick. There's too many choices. So that is a real thing for a lot of people. And a formerly anxious person.
The menu
like,
is too physically big. I can drag it on A1. Like, here's the menu, sir. And you've got to step back 20 feet just to start reading it. Yeah.
Yeah. They pull it around like an engine. You know, the engine hoist, they have to lift it up. Too many choices on the menu. A lot of people will feel intimidated by that. I have decision paralysis now. So for a formerly anxious person with no rules to follow, that's an excellent point. We did an episode of, I don't know, it was either the panic part or the anxious truth, where we talked about when anxiety becomes your identity. So you can wind up in a situation where suddenly you feel like you have a bit of a loss of identity or a minor identity crisis. Who am I if I'm not the anxious person? If I'm not waffling on about my anxiety or waving the advocacy flag or being into mental health, if I don't have to do that, then now what do I do? Who am I?
Yeah.
That's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, we must talk about how episodes and windows like this, mm-hmm. and if you are someone who gets anxious about not being anxious, this is confronting and revealing to how much you have been compulsing for years. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that accusatory. This is where it was confronting for me, because I want to do a separate episode on the default thought, but like your default thoughts and behaviors all this time have been probably around how you feel and around the scary what ifs. And suddenly you're presented in a situation where you've probably compulsing then, but you're not anxious. You're like, oh, this habit, and it's not landing. Yeah, it just goes to show how often you check in and ruminate and go inwards and how long you've been doing that for. And so when you're presented with an opportunity where you get a hall pass to be like, you can do whatever you want. You know, you're not anxious now. You can look at the trees or read a book or go see friends scotch-free. Then scotch-free? Is that got that right? Anyway,
scot-free.
When that's scot-free, sorry. Close Don't enough. Edit that out. People need to see I'm not in the perfect.
You're not infallible? Thing. Damn. My illusion is shattered.
Because they definitely think that. 100%. Obviously not. But yeah, that's really quite unnerving. It's like, wow, I'm rusty at this.
I love that. I never thought about that. That's like the ice skating analogy or the roller skating or the treadmill analogy or the boat analogy. You can use any of those. I love when you said you're still compulsing, but that's got nowhere to go. There's no application for that. It's like when you get off the treadmill and you still feel like you're on a treadmill and you have, and ooh, that feels weird. Or you walk off a boat and it's like, oh, it feels like I'm still on a boat. Your body is still doing the old thing, but wait, I don't have to do that anymore. I can adjust again. It's exactly that. That's so
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. And the people who then continue to compulse because that's their habit, then that will trigger anxiety.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Oh, it's back again. Well, yeah, because you're doing some really good work and you're getting these windows of anxiety kind of peace. And then because we don't really know what to do in these windows, we just default to our habits, the default thought, etc. And don't be surprised if the amygdala and things go, oh, right, well, something must be up then, because I'm not giving you anxiety, but you're still behaving like you're anxious. So I suppose I'm needed here. Have some adrenaline and cortisol.
Amygdala.
Yeah. That worked out perfectly. Is that a time that, was, that right? That was good.
That scared me.
That's you. I think that you're right, because I'm going to keep compulsing, because it seems like that's the whole, if I stop doing this, that's not right. This serves a purpose. This keeps me safe. Interestingly, I think we're talking a lot. We're always talking a lot about people who experience things like panic attacks or agoraphobia. But what I find is people that are making a lot of progress with their GAD or those excessive like rumination habits suddenly discover, oh, I'm not doing that so much anymore. But once in a while, they have that little bit of identity crisis because now I'm not the problem solver. I'm not the fixer. Aren't I supposed to still be that? And sometimes it gets triggered again. That's really normal too, if that happens.
Yep. Same with OCD, those with pure O or any really pure O or any OCD, somatic, or whether you're a checker, door handle checker, oven checker, plug checker.
Yep.
Suddenly you're like, well, there was comfort in that routine. I don't get me wrong. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't like it. I wanted to shortcut my way out of uncertainty. But it's like the brain's like, where do I go now? And that's why you always practice what non-anxious you would do.
Yeah.
Really start to picture it. Imagine what you would do. You could almost like curate it. Even sometimes even with a pen and paper, which I've said in the past in this podcast, like I've sat down with clients and gone, let's write down 5 minutes by 5 minutes what you would do in a day if you weren't anxious.
Yeah.
And that helps. So if you are getting these windows of peace, like, oh, I don't know what to do. Look what you wrote down. Actually, I really wanted to go for that walk over that meadow. I've always wanted to go over there. I want to go bird watching. Mm. You know, I want to listen to that audio book. You know, actually, I might take a trip into town and do these things. And that gives you some direction when you are meandering in that window of, oh my God, I've been so anxious for so long and now I'm not anxious. Rather than getting back on the hamster wheel, I'm going to learn that I can just explore everywhere around the hamster wheel and far away from it.
Yeah, I love that idea. Like writing out a plan, you know, these are the things I really want to be able to do again. Then go to the plan. But it's also really normal, I think, the anxious about not being anxious, or common for people to be anxious about not being anxious, because I don't want this to go away. Another expression I hear of that is, I'm suddenly feeling better, but I'm frozen because I feel like if I try new things, this is such a fragile state of peace or like recovery feeling that I'm afraid of it because anything can break it and I'll go back to where it was. So that's another expression.
Yeah. Like you're enjoying, you ever had a lucid dream, like a really cool one.
Yep.
And I, when I'm in a lucid dream and I'm conscious that I'm in a lucid dream, I get really excited. So I'm like, I don't want this to end because I'm in a lucid dream and I can fly and I can conjure anything I want because I'm in my own brain, but I'm really on eggshell because I don't want to wake up. I'm like, this is the most fun you can ever have. And then you get too excited and then you wake up. It's quite a good analogy for that window of, oh my God, I'm not anxious. I don't want this to stop.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I should surround myself in bubble wrap and cotton wool so I can maintain this. Well, that is not the practicing the willful tolerance of uncertainty.
And that's what probably got you to the other state. Wrapping your, like, oh, I better treat myself as I'm fragile. It got you to the place you were trying to get out of. So that I love the idea of like, make a plan, write it down, put some goals on a piece of paper. So when you find yourself with nothing anxious to do, try those things. But that could be triggering for people who say, ooh, but if I do that, it might push me back to square one, or it's going to ruin this feeling. I want it to last. Mm. You know what? Sometimes I think it's okay to, if you have just been in knots all the time, every day for a long time, and you suddenly find that you have an afternoon of peace, if you kind of want to sit in the sofa and just like bask in the peace, go for it. I would not take that away. Enjoy it. You earned it. You deserve it. It's fine.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%. Not?
Which leads me to the question, like, is it okay to be a bit annoyed and resentful when the window ends and we're triggered again? Yeah, you're going to get more. I remember doing that, just getting annoyed. Like, oh, I had peace for a bit, but hold on to the peace and make it your aim to be like, well, I want more of those and I'm going to extend the time in those because that's the default I want. Yeah. That's the view to a life that you can get where you can just sit there and be bored.
Yeah.
And I think anxious people are not very good at being bored.
No, we suck at it. That was a big problem for me. And I think people, it's not only like okay to be upset. It's if you weren't upset when the peace gets shattered, because you don't wake up one morning and suddenly discover I'm not anxious and I'm never anxious ever. It doesn't work that way. You're going to start to have these little glimpses or windows or whatever you want to call them where you feel good. And then you'll hate it if you didn't get upset or have some emotional reaction when you go back to the anxious state. That's the default would be to be upset about that. So it's okay.
And that applies to all emotions. Yeah. As you say, Drew, like all emotions are transient, even the good ones.
Yeah, I love being excited and happy, but then that's going to end. Can I be disappointed? Like, oh, yesterday was such a good day. Today I'm struggling. Yeah, sure. It's normal to feel disappointed about that.
We've had that. Yeah, like, I've been excited to go to a party or a gig, and you're excited the whole day, and actually you turn up to the gig or the party, and you start yawning because you're like, oh, I'm really tired. And then you get a bit annoyed at that. You're like, oh, why am I so tired now? Yeah. You know, I was looking forward to this. Yeah, it's okay to have that, but know that you can still re-engage and it's all right. It's not a big problem.
But the anxious over not being anxious, it's so weird because sometimes it's the analog to the, I keep thinking I'm never going to recover. Like you're literally recovering, but you keep thinking that you're not going to recover. So you act on the thought instead of the reality. The same thing applies here. Like, you are literally experiencing the state that you've been asking for a year, but instead of experiencing the state, you're already past the state to when it's shattered and you're back to square one. So it's easy to like, I see people who get nervous about this because I know it's not gonna last and I can't bear when it goes away again.
And who's gonna capitalize on that?
Oh, 100%.
It's Craig, the critic.
You're doing it wrong, so it's not working.
You have your window. You're literally experiencing no anxiety, probably as a result of your hard work, and then it ends. And it will end. It might last for 10 seconds. It might last for 10 hours.
Yep.
Do not allow Craig the critic to chime in with, see, you're not recovering. You can't do it. What's the point?
Yeah.
Ignore that.
A good analogy for that is if you have someone you love in your life, whoever that happens to be, a friend, a partner, a child, and they're super excited because they've been practicing this new song on their guitar for months and they get it. What would you say to them? You would help them enjoy the moment. It wouldn't be like, well, enjoy while it lasts because you're going to suck again tomorrow. You would never say that to your friend or your partner or your child, but yet you will let Craig say that to you.
What a miserable.
Horrible, right? Like everybody's probably like, oh, that would be terrible. Yes, but anxious people will do that to themselves sometimes. This isn't going to last. What's the point? You know, like, oh, it's not fair.
No, you can enjoy it. And just again to reiterate, it's very common. Yeah. If you're having these, you're on your way.
Yeah.
It's all right. And you're allowed to be like, ah, dang it, when it passes. That's very human. Do not let Craig the critic step in and be like, oh, this is a bigger problem. And try not to hyperanalyze and ruminate about that window.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, what did I do? Was there something magical I did in the build up to that? Was it because I did this? Was it because I did that? No, sometimes it's just an amalgamation of all good things. And sometimes your anxious response just turns off. Enjoy that. Practice in all states. How important is that? Practice in all states.
That's exactly
Ohio,
right.
Florida.
Mississippi.
No. Yeah. No. But in all states of emotion and levels of anxiety.
I like to say all the time, all states are permissible, which is a hard thing. They are, because they're going to happen.
I like that.
Yeah, they are. They've been enjoyable, but permissible because they're going to happen. That was me, though, admittedly. And this is so funny because I can freely call myself out. The guy that talks so much about acceptance and like going with the flow and being mindful and accepting life for what it is, big stoic philosopher that I am. When I would have those moments, I would get caught in like, what did I do? Yesterday, I went to bed at 9:30 and I did fall asleep. So I have to do that again. I would try to recreate and it never worked.
No.
Yeah. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. It's okay. How come I'm never not going to laugh at that?
What?
The screaming eagle. It's never going to, it's never not funny.
A screaming eagle?
Oh, geez, I'm hallucinating. It's never not funny to me. I'm easily entertained, though. So,
if this is you and you're anxious about not being anxious, it's a common phenomenon. It's a good stepping stone to be on. Try not to compulse. Try not to go inwards. Try not to, and it's okay to feel lost. And it's super important to tap into what non-anxious you would do. And it's a skill, and you practice it, you're building new habits.
Yep.
And it is a window to show you that, yeah, this is a place you can be. So, you know, if this has applied to you, I hope it resonates. Mm-hmm. We'd like to take your questions and celebrate it anyways. What should we look at,
Drew? We have an audio question. Should we play that? I know you have a couple of things to read out. Let's go back to the audio. How's that?
Okay.
Hi, my name is David. To you, Josh, it's a question to differentiate between willful tolerance and willing tolerance. Is there a difference? Because in the past, I've always practiced using willing acceptance, and I just wonder if the two are related, or if there is a difference, and if so, what is the difference? Thank you.
That is an outstanding question.
Great question, David. Willing and willful tolerance. No, I think that's, you know, two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. One is more of a tense issue, isn't it? Like, I did that with willful tolerance. I did that willfully, or I am doing this willingly. Same thing. It's okay. I'm willingly tolerating this right now. I'm practicing it as a skill as willful tolerance. But the second part of the question was the difference between willful tolerance and willing acceptance. I get it. It's a matter of semantics, what works for you. If the acceptance worked for you, that's great. I never really use the word acceptance. Some people like it, but I usually find it's quite vague, because to accept something kind of implies that we're at peace with it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people with anxiety are never really at peace with feeling that horrible, but you can tolerate something. Or like a screaming child on public transport, you know, you can, you know, oh, I accept this, or oh, I can tolerate it, you know, that's okay, rather than I'm at peace and I accept the screaming child. No, it's a bit different. What do you think, Drew?
I'm with you on that. The acceptance thing, I've gotten a little bit of hate sometimes because it feels like I'm picking on Claire Weeks. I'm not. I love Dr. Weeks. But to me, the accepting thing, it almost implies, the word acceptance, willing acceptance, means it implies that I have a choice to not accept it. And in our context, you have no choice. Not accepting anxiety is an absolute moot point. I refuse to accept it. Okay, but it's here anyway. So tell me what you're going to do about that now. What does not accepting even mean operationally? And so I think willing tolerance or willful tolerance is an action you take. And it doesn't involve a feeling. Acceptance implies that I can choose not to, or I'll have a feeling of acceptance, whereas tolerance isn't a feeling. Tolerance is a verb. It's an action.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great answer.
So it's much more concrete.
But they're all under the same umbrella. Whatever works for you, whatever semantics. There's no different magical technique that we're using here. It's more of an attitude. And go back to the attitude shift episode if you kind of really want to explore that a bit more.
I think the word willing is the most important part of this question, because without that, and that's the attitude shift, I'm going to go do a hard thing because I'm willing to do it so that I can learn, as opposed to, well, these guys tell me to just do the things, so I'm doing the things. But if there's no willingness to do it, you're hoping you won't be anxious, kind of miss the point. So that's the most important word. What tense you use, who cares? Whatever works. Yeah.
That's a great question. Great question.
Yep. Thank you.
We had a good did it anyway sent in, a really good one. I'm going to read it out.
Cool.
They've not said I could use their name, so but I'm just going to read out anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, so first I just want to say thank you to both of you. I'm 33 years old now, but I've had anxiety for the better part of the last decade. In the beginning of 2022, however, is when my OCD and anxiety really started to be relentless. I was at the lowest point in my life. I ended up leaving a work from home job that I loved. I was afraid to be alone, and when my husband wasn't home, I would be at my parents. Some monophobia there. I wasn't eating, sleeping, and was non-existent. I was in a constant state of panic. I started to look for any answers to that could help me, and I somehow managed to find you first, Drew. I listened to the first episode of your podcast I had seen, and I won't lie, at first I thought you were truly insane. Well, there's some merit in that.
Yeah.
However, each day I kept going and listening and learning the secret in the recovery sauce. I began by driving as much as I could alone. I started staying home alone, and that's when things started to get a little better. Last year around August, I took a job as a barista in a coffee shop close to home. I had always wanted to try it, but due to my anxiety and fear of working in the public, I never did. In my mind, I was like getting paid to do exposure therapy. Win-win. I stayed at that job for a while, and it was a really big turning point in my life. Fast forward to now, me and my husband are back to being host parents. My host son now is from Germany, and it's such a blast to have him in the home. I'm working in the public full-time in guest relations. What?
Wow.
I put in brackets. And I absolutely love my life. I was so scared of my own reflection in the mirror when my fear was at its worst, and now I let life have zero limitations. The same OCD and crazy thoughts I once feared are now comical to me most days. I've embraced every part of this journey. Some days I still feel the panic. Some days I still just want to stay home, but I don't. I do it anyway every single time. P.S. I know this is super long. I think I just need to share my joy with two people who really, truly understood.
Oh, I love that one so much.
That's an excellent one.
That's really great. You know, my favorite part of that one, and this is not self-serving, but I thought you were truly insane. I appreciate that person's willingness to say, this seems ridiculous, but I tried everything else, so I'm gonna take a chance for me. Has nothing to do with Drew. I love that she did that for herself. And then in the end, it worked out for her. That's so important.
Well done. And leave the little steps there and embracing the philosophy and well done. And my favorite part of that was the Drew being insane part.
Where's the lie? I don't see a lie there. So, you know, it is what it is. That was great. Thank you for sharing. Do we have another one or no? Was that it? I can't remember.
That's the one I've got now. You're supposed to get the other one, Drew. God,
oh, I completely, I'm going to get fired after this episode for sure. I do not have another one to be complete. Please don't.
You're on your final warning. Keep sending them in. We love them, whether they're written, whether they're voice notes. We'd love to play them. Thank you for everyone who's pre-ordered and how does that make you feel? It's a book about being an anxiety therapist, working with four different clients with anxiety disorders. So if you want to know what goes on in my mind when I'm working with them, pre-order it, let me know, send me an email, and I will answer any question you have if you're not already sick of my voice.
That's the best description I've ever heard you give of that book. You should say that all the time.
That was off the cuff.
That was really good. Yeah, I'll play it back for you. You should just say that all the time. It makes me want to read it, and I already have.
Okay, give me some marketing stuff afterwards, marketing advice.
Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate it, and I guess we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks, guys.
We're out.